Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So you watched it last night in Washington, D.C., right? And you reacted.
My name is Rose Saito. I'm calling from Boston area. I really think that the Democrats have given much more in this fight than the Republicans. But I'm really hopeful that they will work it out in the end and we will raise that ceiling and make some permanent solutions to our budget problems.
Sarah, share your view of what's going on in Washington, D.C. by calling us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I need Sanger for this. I'm telling you, this is a morning for David Sanger. And joining us, fortunately, is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on New York Public Radio's WQXR, The Washington Report. David, good morning.
Morning, John.
So I don't know if you heard that conversation with the former.
I did. Everything's just working just fine down here, don't you think?
Oh, my God. What an ugly view of what's going on. I mean, our careers span various incarnations of divided government in America. And it seems to me that what we saw last night is a new one for the books. Your view?
Well, I thought that the president had – I thought the best line of the speech was he said Americans voted for divided government, which they certainly did in the last election, but he said they didn't vote for dysfunctional government. What we've gotten here is both divided and dysfunctional. Now, this may be divided on the way to some kind of a partial compromise, but what I fear is that the deal that was – within reach or seemed within reach last Friday, just before Speaker Boehner walked out of the talks, which actually was a long-term, close to $4 trillion solution, may not now be possible under any circumstance.
Are we seeing a John Boehner without the votes to make anything happen, and so he's sort of standing up and grandstanding, or are we seeing President Obama playing a game of chicken with the Republicans? I don't understand why they both went to the American people, who really can't do anything about this over the next week.
That's true. They can't. And, you know, you saw the president sort of make the kind of offer that Ronald Reagan used to make, or make the kind of invitation, you know, please write your congressman or congressperson. How quaint. What a concept.
Yeah.
As if the members of Congress didn't already know that people wanted to get this solved. A couple of things struck me about the talks that we heard last night from the two of them. The first was that President Obama was at least appearing to appeal to the center. He quoted Jefferson on the point that people do not get all that they want. He called for compromise. He said, when did compromise become a dirty word? When you heard Speaker Boehner, he appeared to be trying to appeal to the right wing of his party. And the question was he just doing that tactically before he then tries to push the party in internal meetings more to the center, which is my guess of what's going to happen here. But I thought that the difference in tone was striking between the two of them. Now, some people might argue that the president was just grandstanding himself and wasn't truly interested in compromise. But the fact of the matter is that I've never heard a Democratic president put on the table before degrading Medicare and Social Security benefits quite on the scale at which he's discussing.
Yeah, and a point that's been made by your colleague David Brooks at The New York Times. And it is at least – I mean, it seems factually to be the case that the Democrats have moved farther than the Republicans, but that's certainly not what Speaker Boehner was saying last night.
I want you to know I made a sincere effort to work with the president to identify a path forward that would implement the principles of cut, cap, and balance in a manner that could secure bipartisan support and be signed into law. And I'll tell you, I gave it my all. Unfortunately, the president would not take yes for an answer. Even when we thought we might be close on an agreement, the president's demands changed.
So he's referring to cut, cap, and balance, which at least there seems to be morphing into the this century's version of contract with America. If we look forward to 2012, but just to remind people, it's serious cuts, including some entitlements, a cap on spending, plus a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Why is he talking about this when he knows it doesn't have a chance of getting through the Senate?
Well, it appeals to that mantra within the right wing of his own party, which calls for no additional revenue. And, you know, there was this sort of odd mix, but an interesting mix that came up in the negotiations they're having last week, in which there would be basically $3 of cuts for every dollar of new revenue that would come in. And you heard President Obama quote Ronald Reagan on a similar kind of revenue-raising mix. The question is, can President Obama, in this game of chicken, get to any new revenues? And if he doesn't get the Republicans to agree to new revenues, how much of his own base does he lose here?
Well, let's listen to the president talking about that. We're talking with David Sanger, who's the chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. The president sort of framed the entire discussion last night towards the beginning of his speech. Listen.
The debate right now isn't about whether we need to make tough choices. Democrats and Republicans agree on the amount of deficit reduction we need. The debate is about how it should be done.
And I guess the president, in speaking to the nation, was asking the question, why is this so hard? Are the American people buying his incredulity?
Well, I think he was trying to give voice to their incredulity. And I think the big question politically for him is, throughout this debate, he has tried to portray himself more as a centrist and more as the compromiser. And the question is, does that pay off in the end? Does he end up appearing like the more reasonable person? And does that spook the Republicans into an agreement? A week ago, I would have said that was a good bet. Today, I'm not so sure.
Is there some metric over the next week? I mean, is some poll going to be done that's going to answer it for anybody?
I'm not sure there is a metric, but I think that there is a concern, particularly in the Republican caucus, that if the U.S. does go to default or to a partial shutdown and the U.S. chooses to keep paying the bondholders, which is what I suspect would happen, whether they end up getting blamed,
right,
much the way they got blamed during the government shutdown in 1995.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on WQXR's The Washington Report on New York Public Radio. Thanks, David.
Thank you, John.